We are starting a sermon series called The Summer of Love. In this sermon series, we will be looking at examples of love from the Bible. We'll be looking at our love for God, our love for each other as Christians, and our love for other people. I think most of us have the concept of love all wrong. We tend to think of love in human terms. We use the word love to describe everything from loving our smartphones or loving pizza to having a strong emotional feeling for another person. There are countless poems, books, movies, songs, and artwork dedicated to love. I think most of us, especially as teenagers or college kids, have done some pretty stupid things in the name of love. So after thousands and thousands of years of chasing this topic of love, why do we still have a problem with the concept of love? Part of the problem, especially in the English language, is that we use one word to describe the many types of love there are. Did you know the Greeks had four different words for love? The first word is eros. This type of love includes a passion or infatuation. It can also be referred to sexual or romantic love. When we see two kids who first meet, we might call it puppy love. There's storge. This type of love refers to the natural affection between a parent and a child. There's filio. This is the type of love that refers to the intimacy that good friends share. And the last type of love in the Greek language is called agape love. This is sacrificial love, a commitment that motivates us to deny ourselves on behalf of another. Agape is an all-in kind of love, the kind of love where we would do anything for the person that we loved. And this agape love starts with God. God is the source of love and the only true form of love. The other three types of love can leave us empty and unfulfilled unless we understand that all forms of love have to have their root in God's agape love. When God becomes the foundation of our love, it changes not only how we love God, but it changes how we love others. And for us to be able to have this love in us, we must first understand how much God loves us and how much we are to love Him in return. In our scripture reading, we learn that a true love for God is found in what Jesus called the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all our hearts, with all our soul, and with all our minds, and with all our strength. We cannot simply say that we love God. If we love God, then our love must carry action, or our love is meaningless. Because love is a verb. Now, I need to be careful because I know there's a few teachers out there. Some of you are retired teachers, and I cannot claim to be a grammar expert. But yes, love can be used as a noun or a verb. But in this case, when we say that we love God, love is being used as a verb. A verb typically refers to some type of action. And when we talk about love from God's perspective, love is a verb that requires action. We must be active in our love for God. And not only is our love supposed to be an action word, it is quantified with the word all. All our hearts, all our soul, all our minds, all our strength. All is a small three-lettered word, but all is a really big word. In grammatical terms, the word all is being used as a determiner in this case. The word all is determining or defining how much we should love. How much action should go into our love for God? And I really don't think we get this as Christians. Because I think most of us who claim to be Christians have a casual appreciation for God, not a true love for God. I think most of us take our heart and we make a tiny little compartment and we say, that's God's. And God, you can have this part of my heart. And many of us are willing to give God an hour every Sunday. But let me tell you, by some of the comments and emails and other things I've gotten in my time as a pastor, there are a lot of people who are not willing to give God 61 minutes or more. And let's be honest, have you ever complained that a worship service lasted more than an hour? There are 168 hours in a week. And most of us are lucky to dedicate 1 hour to God. How many of the other 167 hours do we dedicate to God? Because after all means all. When we go back to our Old Testament reading in Deuteronomy, it says this: these are the commands, decrees, and laws of the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord promised, the God of your ancestors promised you. Notice the action in this part of the scripture. So that we and our children should fear the Lord. The phrase to fear the Lord means to be in awe of his holiness, to give him complete reverence, and to honor him as the God of great glory, majesty, purity, and power. We should be amazed that the Creator of the universe loves us. And because of his love for us and our love for him, we are to take action by keeping all of his decrees and all of his commandments for as long as we live. And the scripture in Deuteronomy continues as this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. If we love God with all our hearts, then God's word and commands will be on our hearts. His words and his commands would mean so much to us that we just don't teach them to our kids. We impress them on our kids. Do you get the difference there? It's one thing to teach somebody something. It's another thing to teach them by living it out. Do you get the difference? Because a lot of us are do as I say, not as I do people, right? Well, Dad, didn't you really fib there? Well, don't lie. We do that. We need to impress them on our children by our lives and our actions. If his words and his commands are on our hearts, then we should talk about them when we sit at home and when we go places, and when we lie down and when we get up. We are to tie them as symbols on our hands and bind them on our foreheads. We are to write them on the door frames of our houses and on our gates. In other words, God's word and God's command should be present in every aspect of our lives. So let me put this into perspective. We all know someone who is a fanatic. Not just a fan, but a fanatic. A true fanatic of something. I have a former coworker who is a fanatic of the Ohio State University football team. We call people like this Bucknuts. I mean, every day of the week, he wore a Buckeye football shirt and some type of OSU hat. He had season tickets to the games. He talked about them every week, in season and out of season. He knew who they recruited and which recruits they signed in the off season. He could tell you what former players were drafted and what teams they played on in the NFL. He knew their schedule and all their wins and losses. He had an OSU edition Chevy truck that was painted scarlet and gray and had OSU embroidered leather seats. He flew an OSU flag in his yard. Nearly every room in his house had something Buckeye related in it. And his man cave was a shrine to the Buckeyes. You've seen those, haven't you? Every wall plastered with posters, decals, signs, pictures, autographs, statues, footballs, helmets, and so much more. And you can guarantee that when the game was on, he was not going to answer his phone. He loved the Buckeyes so much that he wouldn't even say the name of that big state to the north of Ohio that hosts the biggest rival. You ever met someone that says Michigan? They don't like that big capital letter M in blue and gold. But this guy made the Buckeyes the center of his life, and everyone knew it. He would love it if a truck driver pulled into our dock and had an opposing Big Ten something on. Boy, he could chew the fat with him for hours. That's when I wished he was on salary and not being paid by the hour. But if we really love the Lord our God with all our hearts and with all our soul and with all our minds and with all our strength, then what should our lives look like? Our lives should look like the Bucknut. People should call us Jesus nuts or Jesus freaks. Everything about our life should point people to where our hearts are. I know many people who proudly display their favorite political candidate by wearing a hat or a sign or a t-shirt. I know people who proudly wear a favorite team's logo. And I have to admit that as a veteran, I have a personalized license plate that says I'm an Army veteran, and I frequently wear my Army hat. Many people on social media have things they love to post about. Some post picture after picture after picture after picture of their cat. And some people are compelled to get deep and complicated political arguments. But I only have maybe one or two friends that by their lifestyles, I could actually say they were Christians who loved God with all. These people post daily how God has blessed them. They share scriptures from their daily devotions. They share about their church and the church activities that they participate in. They offer prayer and ask for prayer. I have friends that openly pray at meals, even in restaurants, and openly pray over their kids prior to their sporting events. In everything they do, in every way they act, their faith is at the forefront. Now think about your life. What kind of statement does your life say about you? What kind of statement does your life say about your faith? If 20 people that knew you were asked about your love for God, of those 20 people, how many of those people would say that you had a deep, profound love for God? The kind of love that is all in. Makes you stop and think, doesn't it? There's nothing wrong with posting a picture of your cute kitty cat. I mean, I shared a picture of a nice 5-foot-long black snake that was on a job site it was working on. That's okay. But what does everything else say about me? It's easy when I go out wearing this collar because people really change their behavior. And when I go onto job sites and people know that I'm a pastor, all of a sudden, language you hear from another room disappears when you walk in. Oh, sorry about that, Pastor. Oh. If we want this church to grow, if we want to go out and lead people to Christ, then the world needs to see something different in us. The world needs to see that being a Christian means that Christ is at the center of our lives, and that we really do love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our soul, and with all our minds, and with all our strength. Because after all means all. Because what separates us from other good people? There's a lot of people who do a lot of good things, who give to charities and do a lot of work out there. What makes us different? What makes us different and should make us different is our love for God. And that everything we do is for God. No matter where we work, no matter what we do, no matter what we post, people see that faith and our love for God is at the forefront of our lives. And when they look at us and they say, why is that person different? It's because they love God. And that's the kind of people we need to be. We need to be people that are all in. With all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our minds, and with all of our strength. Because all means all. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we honor and worship you. Lord, you are a great and holy and just God. And too many times we have taken for granted the love that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. You love us because you created us to be in your image. You created us to have a relationship with you. Yet we allow ourselves to be distracted by this world. We are distracted by our own sin and our own love for other things other than you. And Lord, my prayer today is that people will start to stop and think about what all means. Because when we really truly come to know you, and we truly experience what salvation means, how can we not have such a great love for you? And how can we not want others to experience that same great love? Lord, take us from being people who talk about God and make us people who live for you. Help us to become a people that are all in with everything that we have, so that others may come to know you and know your Son, Jesus Christ, and the loving grace that he paid for on that cross. Lord, you are worthy of everything. Thank you for our life. Thank you for the work that you do. Thank you for the prayers that are answered. Thank you for your wisdom, your guidance, and your scripture. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit who is ever present with us. And let us listen to that Spirit today. And let your Spirit point to us in the ways that we need to go so that we can be the church that you have called us to be. All of this we ask and pray through the power of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we depart here today, hear the selected verses from John 14. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Let us now depart from here and show the world our love for God by keeping his commands. Let us go and love in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.